Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, my name is Pete Ellison. This is Dave Cribb.
Hello, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends, as you might have guessed from the music that's playing underneath, which is a sort of lo-fi rendition of the Friends theme tune for rights reasons. We get a different guest on every week on our podcast to talk about their favourite episode of Friends.
And we look through it in excruciating detail. We pick through levels of plots like no one has ever done before.
So if you like Friends or just listening to people talking, which are both valid activities, do look us up on the old podcast apps and that. Friends with Friends, and we're on Twitter at FriendsWF.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello! And
God,
welcome.
You're doing that on your own now, Mark. I'm sorry.
It's, to be honest, it is the bit I enjoy the very most.
Oh, well, then it's yours.
Okay, I love it. I just do it at home. I'm constantly doing it, like low-level hum, like I'm a fluorescent light.
Yes, I very much do think of you that way.
How are you, Julia? What's going on?
I'm all right. I'm a bit hungover. It turns out I can only really enjoy board games when I'm drunk, so I had a lot of old fashions last night while playing all the board games and losing them. So I'm all right, but I'm a bit rough.
Were you drinking because you were so delighted to see that the same-sex relationship dancing will no longer happen?
And yeah, it's just relief, to be honest.
You don't have to complain to the BBC.
I had all my green biros ready. Now I can save the ink for something better. So I'm delighted.
Good news. Well, that is the big news story of this week, isn't it? That Nicola Adams and Katya have been booted out.
They have, because obviously they're now a vector. And there was no attempt to Skype them at home or anything nice like that. Apparently, then both of them are well; they're asymptomatic. But obviously, since Katya has tested positive, Nicola's also out. So they're just really shit for her.
I know, and I get the feeling that they're very angry with them. Because,
do you think so?
Well, I mean, normally in something like this, you would have started the show. You would have said, hello, welcome to Strictly. And we have some sad news. Unfortunately, Nicola and Katya will not be taking, you know. And instead, they just did generic opening. And then it was about link 3 or 4. Where
I was watching it with my husband. Yeah. And he said, have they mentioned it? And he was about to wind back. And I said, I bet they're going to say, now you may have noticed there's a couple missing. And that's kind of how they decided to play it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
very low key.
I do think there's going to be a lot of people backstage at the BBC in senior management who are secretly very, very relieved that
they're
this
just
has happened.
Relieved.
There is a can of woman on woman worms that no longer has to be opened.
They don't have to deal with it now. They must be really fucking happy.
They had gay cake and they ate it, didn't they?
They certainly did. Although I will say, I think in terms of Nicola's dancing ability, we were about to see the limits or the near the limits of it anyway this week. I think she was doing a ballroom and I'm sure she'd have done it fine. But this is the week where, you know, the sifter is sifting out. Well, you can see from the leaderboard now, the good dancers are ascending or they're being picked up on small things. And the bad dancers or the less natural ones who weren't going to go any further are starting to shimmy to the bottom of the table. And I just
completely
think this would have been not the week she went, perhaps, but the week when it the whole started.
I think this probably would have been the week she went. I think it's you are suddenly seeing now, as you say, you know, they are taking off. What's amazing about this series is there's a lot of them taking off.
Yes.
It's not a case of going, well, you've got the three who you reckon are going to be the final. You've got the sort of six who are going to be the final.
It's quite a healthy crop, isn't it? Because the sort of the Bill Baileys and the Caroline Quentins, who maybe in series of yore would have been, you know, week three, week two fodder, cannon fodder, are absolutely not fitting that pattern at all and are up there with the best dancers. So it's exciting. It's all to play for.
It is. It really is. I like the fact that this episode, I mean, it's not Remembrance Sunday. That was last week. but yeah. Claudia and Tess both came out dressed in black.
I
did think it's supposed to be a big explosion of colour and fun. And they did come out a little bit like presiding over a funeral. I thought they were going to do a mock funeral for Nicola Adams and Katya.
But I will say, in Claudia's defence, because you must have worked with her as well, but I've done radio shows with her.
Mm.
And where Tess loves the fashion. She loves months ahead. She's sending emails to the costume people, getting excited about what she's going to wear. And it's clearly her thing. Claudia's like, I just want to go into Topshop, point at 10 identical black dresses and say, leave me out of it. And I do sympathise, because it must be a right pain in the arse if you're not really that bothered.
So yeah,
I think she comes out tanned to all bilio and in some kind of smart dress every week. That is enough for me.
Yeah. Did you see the reason that Katya Jones said that she believes she caught COVID?
No.
Well, she doesn't know, but there was a hint that she said, I think I got it when I was shopping.
Right, because that would be the only excuse, because she's not allowed to do anything else. She's only allowed to go shopping for essential groceries.
I believe that she may have been shopping for more than essential groceries. I believe she may have been shopping for kissing with a gentleman friend, and I believe she is in severe hot water.
No, Mark, it's the aerosols in Sainsbury's. It's definitely the aerosols. Yes, I think I will admit my knee did jerk in that direction. That immediately I heard Katya's got COVID. And I was like, oh, what's she been up to?
Imagine trying to tell dancers that they have to stay somewhere. They'd be like herding cats. They'd just be lithe and trying to get round you and hanging off to go and meet horrible men, I imagine.
Yeah, I reckon you're right. I think she's probably in big trouble because, you know, she has... But obviously, albeit inadvertently, upset a big kind of talking point of the series. And like I said, we'd have had a few more weeks of them at least, or a couple more. I think you're wrong. I think Nicola would have hung on in there for a bit longer. But, you know, I was about to say I didn't really miss them last night. I don't know if there was really that much of a gaping hole in the show after all.
No.
Obviously, Jamie and Karen filled in the same-sex couple box
in
place of them by dressing identically. That was weird.
It was.
So I didn't really feel the loss of them, I have to say, which is a shame because I was looking forward to, Till I Die, I was really looking forward to Katya's choreography and what she could do with the partnership she was given, and a bit gutted that we won't get to see that.
I'm sure someone will, you know, they will have had discussions about this, but there is that thing about really the most important thing that you do when you're on a BBC show at this juncture in history is you do not contract COVID.
Please,
especially
bloody well don't do that.
When they've spent so much time telling us about how it's a closed, you know, unit, how it's a bubble, how the
following
two bubbles can't touch.
Following government guidelines, blessed be the regulations.
It is very much like that.
And of course, also, Motsi was absent this week because I didn't read the full story, but she had to make brackets an emergency dash to Germany.
Mm.
Something went on at home and she had to go back and deal with it, which obviously means she's done international travel. So she's off for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Which led to, in my opinion, the best thing to happen in ages. I do miss Motsi and I love her. But come on, last night was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
If I was Bruno and I was now looking at some hooky stream of Strictly last night, going, they said they were going to call me about next week. I'd do a little piece to camera. And you'd watch that and you'd go, oh, so that job's come to an end. This is, of course, Anton Dubek becoming a judge. They've made it very clear he's standing in for 2 weeks.
Just 2 weeks. And he's fine with that. He's giddy, in fact.
This for him was an audition.
Oh, was it ever?
And do you know what? It should have been done years ago.
I know.
Do you know what he brought to this, which they've been missing for a long time?
Oh, what?
A sense of Len Goodman, avuncular warmth.
And he did check with Len, didn't he, about what, you know, how to judge, what kind of a judge to be.
Yeah.
He brought that flavour back. There was even a bit of Brucey in there as well, because obviously there are similarities.
Completely.
It was old Strictly completing the circle. It was lovely.
You didn't realise how much you'd missed it until he turned up.
No.
You know, I think there is a slight thing of, you know, Shirley, Bruno and Motsi are fine, but they're very much judges 3 and 4.
Yes.
And what you've been missing is that judge that is the one or two that goes alongside Craig, the flip side of Craig, the yin and the yang, the classic balance of harmony of judging. And I thought he was fantastic. It was lovely to see Anton Dubek doing something that you go, oh, you're doing this better than anyone else, rather than watching him and going, you are the worst one here.
Yeah, no, I think he took a little while to settle in. Like the very first time they came to him for comment, he was like glasses on, glasses off, trying to read the notes, trying to deliver. He didn't. It suddenly shows you it's not quite as easy as it looks, but it was a brief moment of settling. It was very similar to when Darcy Bustle started, and she remember when she said yeah. All the way through her first episode, and I was like, oh Jesus, dear Christ, don't do that again. And they stopped doing it. It wasn't as bad as that, but he just was a little underconfident, but he warmed up. He settled in by the end of the show. I think next week he's going to be great.
But he had a slight stumble at the start, and that was a minute where I imagine that is all he can think about today. He's not thinking about the rest of it, where he was absolutely bang on and just perfect and pitched wonderfully. He's thinking about the moment where he went, I've written my scores down.
Oh.
Got to put the old bins on.
But everyone was on his side. Like you said, this has been a long time coming. It was like he finally won the competition that he's been threatening to
absolutely.
Win. Since he started the show. And hopefully this is a future... I mean, it just seems dumb not to consider him if there's a gap in the judging panel in you know, time to come, because he is that show. He's the heart of the show.
Completely. And actually, it's about time they had someone who has performed on the show who comes on and actually is a judge. And I'm sure the BBC are saying, well, it's a slight conflict of interest because he knows all the dancers and, you know, he won't speak his mind. Nonsense. It's a game. It's a competition. Everyone enjoys
it. Absolutely. And he took it seriously. He did the technical stuff. He got much more confident with staking his technical claim, you know, later in the judging this week. And also, I really liked when he came out. I don't know about you. I was slightly bouncing on my seat when it's like, the judges. I was like, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? Because he's so happy. And he did it perfectly. He did it like in the most brilliant way possible. He came out, did his little shimmy, hands out to the sides, and just a little fist clenched of, yes!
there was something. Actually, I thought this morning, which is obviously the news of Des O'Connor dying.
Oh, I know. Really sad.
At 88. Yeah. And it is sad. It's one of those people who, obviously, he's been around for our entire lives.
Exactly,
and he's always just been one of those guys who has glided through the decades, who is always popping up. You never really treasure and value. I did think, gosh, they've missed a shot by having Des O'Connor 10 years ago. You know, 78 coming out and doing a thing. And I, there was, seeing Anton, it felt like that 70s and 80s light end BBC that really is missing massively today.
It was comforting, wasn't it?
It really was. You know, people who you've got there, they speak, but actually they're there because their talent has put them there. Which, of course, you know, again, that I had a big scream about JJ Chalmers yesterday.
But I knew you'd be absolutely incandescent.
I'm livid, absolutely livid.
Tailored it specially for him, Mark, specially for him.
I put my peace-loving moccasin through the TV set and I sent the BBC the bill. But it is that thing about people who have proper skills that are entertaining, people who could do a show at Brighton. If someone said, you've got 15 minutes, come and do your turn. Mm-hmm. Anton Dubek is that. And there are very, very few people on television in those roles of his sort of generation who are given the chance to do that. And I found myself, for the first time in years, I thought, oh, I'm an Anton Dubek guy. That's good.
I tried to tell you that last year. It was really nice. I think, is it Bob Monkhouse or someone who said never go on alone and like always had like a little drink before?
I believe so, yeah.
I think he should just knock one back, just one, before he goes out next week. Just to look himself in the mirror, look at himself in the mirror before he goes out and say, you're Brucey, you are light entertainment, you are Strictly Come Dancing. Now get out there and then just relax into it, you know, understand.
I would love it next week if it's all gone to his head and he's got a little like earring and he's got
wearing
a leather suit. He's wearing sunglasses the whole time, smoking.
That slight sort of blue wash that McCartney had for a while. That'd be nice.
That would be amazing. There's the dancers, when they all came out actually today, they all seemed to be like they'd been given a lot of tartrazine, like there was only squash backstage and they'd gone
so
bananas.
Orange. And Claudia was saying, I think she doubled hand this week. Like it was just, I had to adjust my set at points.
It felt to me a little bit like there was a big sense of relief that this show was going on, that they hadn't suddenly got a load of COVID tests back and gone, oh, actually, you know, six of you have tested positive.
Yeah.
And it seemed like everyone was just relieved they'd managed to get to this finish line and the show couldn't be stopped.
Can you imagine the containment of Katya the minute she was positive? Just like people in hazmat suits and with lots of like plastic sheeting. Get her out of here! Get her out of here!
Burning all of the sort of glittery things she's touched. You know, choking clouds of chemicals.
Because if she had scuppered the show, I swear to God, I love her choreography. And I'm more than forgiven her for the awfulness with the dreadful, funny comedian who looked like he was a scarecrow. But if she'd stiffed this year's series, I think that would be it for me. Just like, done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, geez, you think of the number of jobs that could have been brought down. That is a lot of pressure to basically stay in your hotel room. Come on.
Yeah.
There was a funny line between Tess and Claudia where they mentioned about Nicola and Katya not being on. I think it was Tess said, right, Claude, any other updates tonight?
Yeah, that was weird.
And Claudia went, hopefully not.
What?
Let's carry on with the...
So drop they're all on a knife line. Edge. They're all on an absolute knife edge.
If you could end it with a joke, you know, any more updates tonight? Yes, Claude. Do you know what? You look banging. Oh, anything.
There you go. Why didn't you write the links this year?
Well, let me tell you, because it's sewn up, Julia.
It's sewn up.
Let's get to the dancing. The first couple out were Jeanette and Harvey doing their salsa.
Salsa!
This was... I mean, I love this.
I believe it warrants your catchphrase, Mark. Please continue.
I love Jeanette! That's my new catchphrase.
Hot sauce!
I love Jeanette.
Oh,
I'm not saying
she's
that
the
as
one
a,
you love now.
I'm not saying it as a funny thing. I actually love her. I think she looks like a little cartoon mouse. Which is what I look for in ladies. I think that's
and
nice.
And curiously, the footage of her as a 15-year-old dancing with her super cool dad.
Exactly
she
the
looks
same.
The same. She exactly looks the same. Same hair, I mean, same face.
It could have been taken yesterday. I mean, it's so great to see Jeanette being given a partner who allows her to finally dance, to just cut free and
completely.
Do hard, complex things that she is actually, I mean, that seems to be the thing that she
is.
She
does get given moves.
Exceptional at.
She does. She had Dr. What's his name? Dr. Range. Have I got the right name?
Yeah.
Come on, Julia. She usually gets sort of slightly, well, obviously, because she's petite, she gets maybe the slightly smaller, more nimble man. So she often does get someone who can move. But it changes series to series, doesn't it?
This is just, I mean, Harvey is... I actually wrote down the line and I thought, oh, God, I sound like bloody Bruno. And I'd written, you know, it's as crisp as the line in his ironed white chinos.
Oh,
but he's got a sense of just total sort of crunchy straight lines that are
it's
just
so
like bam,
clean,
smash, crash,
isn't it?
That's it's
what it's
inhumanly
like.
Inhumanly robotic.
You can smell the kind of bleach in a nice way. You can smell the kind of cleaning products coming off him. Like nothing he does has any excess mess, baggage, fraying, tatters. It's all clean and crisp and snip and snip.
Perfectly
and it's just very
working
impressive.
Joints. You know, there is no resistance when he moves his legs or
no,
or
none.
Arms.
It's really annoying, isn't it? I did my knee in yesterday standing up.
Yeah. But I mean, it was a phenomenal, phenomenal sort of performance.
Very good performance, yeah.
We're in what, week four?
Yeah, this is week four.
Week four. I mean, a
ridiculous.
Dance like that is pretty much any other year you could go, that would be a final dance.
Oh, would be the one that brings the house down, all tens. I really like this episode. I don't know who's doing the VTs now, but the training VTs were all focusing on dance technique this week. Like it reminded, the judges use these words, these technical phrases. And this was like, we got some visual kind of reminder of what a lockstep is or a botafogo or things that I keep hearing them say and think, oh, I wish I knew what that was or what a New Yorker is. It felt like a little refresher course this week. Pretty much all the training videos gave me some proper information about what they were aiming for. So I knew what to look for. And I kind of got more out of the dancing, I think, this week because I was a bit more technically aware.
And I reckon that's because what's happened is everyone has said, I haven't got time to do this silly thing that the producer suggested. The producer is saying, why don't you go down to the park and you can point up at the moon and you're just going, do you know what, guys? We've got a lot to do. So I think there
is a
sense of all of the celebrities just going, all we're going to do is train from now on. So the producers then have to go, well, let's make a video about training. It's much better.
I get kind of anxious watching like, well, we're in an Italian restaurant because this week we're pasta chefs. It's like... But they must be so anxious to just get back and fucking train. Can you let them get on with it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And it makes me kind of clenchy watching it.
This is about sport, isn't it? It's about dancing. It's not strictly make a assistant producer's comedy idea come to life. Not a bad show, but that isn't this show.
It's a different show.
Yeah.
So Harvey and Jeanette, they got some... Shirley gave them a standing ovation. She said it was hot, hot, hot. She had a full-on flush while she was frothing
at the mouth. It was very undignified.
Anton, when he got his specs straight and he actually managed to look up from his paper for the first time, he said the fluidity of movement was amazing.
Mm.
And Craig just picked up and said that the footwork could be cleaner. How you clean up... That footwork, I don't know, but obviously Craig knows, and you know.
This obviously for me felt like the part in every Strictly series where Craig goes, "Oh, okay, they're taking it seriously, so I'm going to take it seriously."
Yeah, but he was on something this week, wasn't he? Because his scoring was wow. Like
it
even when he was quite nice to their faces, he'd stab them in the back with a 5.
It was harsh. I mean, there does tend to be that dip that they do, and I think it is that sort of thing of going.
Yeah.
you're obviously very good, and I will not let you get complacent.
Yeah, so
and
I'm
this seems
get on your
to
back
be
now.
His
yeah,
one
exactly.
where he's like, well, let's kick you into the stratosphere. I thought it was a shame in a way that Shirley gave the 10 and Anton, because it was his first dance, he wanted to give it a 10. And
I
he
know.
Thought, I can't give it a 10, because if they go 8 and I go 10, I look like a big joke. So he'd obviously talked himself out of it and given it a 9. And when no. Shirley threw up the 10, you could see Anton slightly thinking,
he's like, oh,
could have made my first one a 10. That would have been a fairy tale story. Never mind.
Bless
I felt
him.
For him.
Bless him. But he certainly got more confident with his 10s after that, I'm glad to say.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
Craig David then read us the number.
Jesus, did he? I don't know. I was asleep for this bit, Mark. Just instantly dropped off the minute he
appeared on the
screen. He had
very sleepy eyes. It was like being hypnotised by Car in the Jungle Book. He's not in the UK. It was too sunny and it was there was a palm frond coming into shot.
There was some kind of Miami backdrop thing going on there, wasn't there?
And, yeah. You know,
I said, I just woke up as he finished speaking. But it was completely pointless and boring.
We're in the trenches here, Julia, in the UK. Yeah. We don't sort of go, here's someone who's managed to escape.
Oh, look,
here's
if he's in America, he's not having a better time. Let me tell you. They're not doing okay over there.
But the sun. They've got sun.
They do have the sun.
And the food is cheaper. And you get more of it.
And you do
such
get a lot more
portions,
for your money.
Julia. Such big portions. I know someone who had a burger and it was as big as a bin lid.
Shut up.
Dancing number 2.
Yeah, this was Ranveer and Giovanni, who were doing the Cha-Cha-Cha, which does seem to be the bane of a lot of the celebrities' lives.
It just is
tricky and technical, but you have to look like you're having fun. The story of this dance was just... And they did, again, they edited this VT beautifully, which is Ranveer's sort of like inability to have confidence in herself.
Yeah.
And she stands out there looking like a movie star week after week.
Oh, completely.
She's still inside kind of going, oh God, don't look at me. But there's something incredibly... my empathy just twangs every time she comes on screen because she's just such a likable person.
It's funny, isn't it? When she starts, you sort of go, this is great. And then you suddenly notice, you go... something funny, like she's holding back a bit.
Yeah.
And then you suddenly realise, you go, oh, actually, look, no, she's quite anxious.
Yeah.
And then by the end, you're like, she is practically screaming inside, that silent
totally.
Scream. And it makes it a really, really uneasy dance to watch because you are constantly feeling for her.
A lot of her dancers have that same trajectory, exactly as you say. Again, they're always, Gio's always really confident about letting her start alone. This week, no different. She's there kind of like swaying her hips and looking really brilliant, really confident. She's giving, I think she puts everything into the beginning of the dance because she's so terrified and forced to confront, you know, her fears. And then once she's kind of in hold and starting the dance proper, she just seems to get, like you said, gradually less and less confident. And it's so sad to see because she it's just a brain thing.
It's
she
like
has
she's been over
it
so often in her head and she's going over the first 30 seconds again and again. I must get them right. And it's almost like then when you get past those, it's a bit like, oh, you know, I haven't really thought, it's so upsetting to see.
I just think, her confidence is all just, it's all spent in the first 30 seconds. And I want her, I'm so rooting for her, we all are.
The judges have really sort of said that as well, haven't they? They said you just need to, you know, believe in yourself, which normally is such a stupid cliche.
It's actually quite unusual to see a
situation where you go, gosh, no, the absolute best advice here is believe in yourself.
Completely.
You know, I've never thought I'd say that was good advice. And yet you can see it here playing out.
It's totally a battle for that. She did manage to pull it back at the end and sort of did that amazing look down the camera, which was just, she's so beautiful. She's so watchable. And Anton was obviously really trying to build her up. He was the first judge to comment this time. And he said, you look fabulous and you're really trying so hard. And I just sort of flicked back to her and she was just fully crying.
Yeah.
She's absolutely, clearly just feels silly and embarrassed and wants to believe in herself, but she can't. And it's like, oh my God, my heart is completely with her this week.
Yeah,
she was just so lovely. And she was just sort of saying, God, was that on live telly? You know, she's trying to make light of it. But she clearly is just like, I can't believe I'm doing this in front of people. Do I look stupid? I think I look stupid. You know, just...
And it's funny because, I mean, out of anyone who's on the show and anyone you've ever met, she probably spends more time on live TV than anybody else.
Honestly.
You know, I mean, she must be exhausted. I really sort of...
So tired.
I think she's probably getting like an hour and a half of sleep every night. And then she's coming in and doing this. And all of this is just seeming like a mad waking dream.
Yes.
You know, no wonder she's emotional.
Is this really happening? Who am I?
You know, you want her to do so well, but the horrible thing is she's probably also seeing people around her and going, I think they're better than me.
Yeah.
And that's sort of putting it further into the spiral. And
she
in
will
a weird
always
way,
be able to convince herself that this is
exactly
really for
and
her.
she's going to convince, you know, she's going to talk herself out of this competition.
That's exactly it. Totally.
It's a really sad thing. I like her a great deal. The marks
me
were 5,
too.
7 and 8 for a total of 20.
Again, Craig, low scoring. He did say to her, it was too laid back for me. It wasn't laid back. It was held back. She was utterly holding back.
It was tense. It was not laid back.
No,
you know?
Of course not. It was completely the wrong comment, I think.
I think, you know, a 6 would have certainly seemed less of a sort of
he
like
was
a
such
torpedo
a twat
into
this
the
week.
Side.
Honestly, I mean, I love Craig. Never, ever leave Craig. And I love getting angry at your low scores. But he was so mean this week. Just like proper pantomime.
Oh, 10 people booing. Think he's going to bother me, he said
that
at one point.
That was a good bloody line, though.
It
come
was
on.
A great line. And all I'm thinking, Julia, is, oh, one Julia A-side booing. Huh? Think that's going to bother me, do you?
My mate bought a toaster. We go through celebrities' Amazon purchase histories so you don't have to. Keep calm and love Dom Jolly novelty keyring and fridge magnets.
Yeah, I love that.
The G-spot.
The good vibrations, guys.
Green dot laser sight rifle gun scope.
I've bought that quite a lot of times, I think.
Right, okay. The sex doctor's guide to keeping it hot.
Ah, oh, interesting.
Did another child come along 9 months later?
Yeah.
Loads of great eps up now, and new ones dropping every Monday. That's My Mate Bought a Toaster from Great Big Al.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It was so wrestling this week. I think you particularly appreciate that.
You wouldn't believe how wrestling. What I'm going to do now, that's an excellent bit, is I'm going to put in a little clip of the brilliant WWE superstar Kofi Kingston.
Yes.
And Kofi Kingston is a wrestler of colour. He is a brilliant man. He is beloved. He is the most right-on, sweet, charming guy you'll ever meet in your life. He's an absolute credit to wrestling. And then he's thrown it all away by deciding to give a supportive message to Jimmy Biscuits. It does seem a little bit, when you hear this, a little bit like Jimmy Biscuits has actually paid for a cameo from Kofi Kingston. It doesn't seem... It's an odd one, but this is
how
what Kofi Kingston...
How does he know him? How?
Well, I don't think he does. I think he's obviously been given $60 or whatever, and he's sort of gone, well, you get 25 seconds for that. And they've gone, well, here are the salient points. Can you say them? And he's gone, I'll say the first one, the rest of it I'm going to wing. So here is Kofi Kingston bigging up Jimmy Biscuits.
Jamie, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Congratulations, man. You've been out there moving those hips. And what can I say? I know, or at least I hope, that you'll be using the moves that I taught you. You know, if you really want to win the competition, then you need to go and watch Kofi Kingston / New Day tapes and really study the moves that we do with our hips, man. If you like winning, you better swivel your hips just like this. And the judges won't be able to help but to elevate you straight to the top. Good luck, my friend. Do well. And most importantly, like, seriously, like shake your hips around, man. Like, they can't. I don't know how they can deny you. I mean, look at what it's done for me, you know? 21-time champion in WWE. What can I say, you know? And it all is because of these hips. Yeah. Give them the hips, baby. Give them the hips, baby. Yeah. Good luck, Jamie.
Yeah, so that was Kofi Kingston, the WWE superstar, supporting Jimmy Biscuits. I love Kofi Kingston, and now I am very disappointed. I think he's let himself down.
Well,
I think he's let us all down.
This will come up when we get to that dance, but there is a lot to talk about. This may be a separate podcast. This may be a Patreon. We'll have to start a Patreon in order to make it exclusive content, because there's a lot to be said. There is a lot to be said.
Yeah. That is true.
We're
talking about a lot to be said, but this was the point that Tess Daly revealed her favourite song is Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Mob. Which, now we've seen the show, it's less sort of like out of nowhere. But when they just sort of went, you know, Tess sort of, they're going to be dancing to your favourite song, Tess. And she sort of went, oh, Sugar, you know, Rapper's Delight. And I was just like, what? Like, what did that? It makes a bit more sense now, but it was just a strange moment.
Well, there you go. Okay, so next up.
Yeah, your third couple.
Max and Diane finally scrubbed all the yellow paint off their various areas. And they were all done up. She looked sensational. They were doing an American Smooth, very kind of Astaire and Rogers. Mm. Well, I can't remember what they were dancing to. It was something trad, I think.
Yes, very trad. It was along the lines of The First Time Ever I See Your Face, or, you know, that sort of genre.
It was one of those, yeah.
Yeah, it was. Some of the music on this series has been a little bit trad,
lacking.
I feel. Yeah, there haven't been any absolute bangers. It's been a cross between soft modern stuff, which is sort of, you know, quite Radio 2, and stuff literally from 1930.
Yeah, with a Gangnam style, Mark. That's what I want
exactly.
To know.
I was really upset after the porn parody of The Simpsons that they did last week that they didn't this week sort of go.
I can see her gusset. I'm sorry, I just had a flashback.
It was such a strange decision.
Weird.
I mean, you know, new emotions from me. But I was really disappointed they didn't go, do you know what, we're going to keep this going. And they turned up as the dog and the baby from Family Guy. And each week they're slightly
more
dressed as an unlovable cartoon.
Yeah.
Really good.
Or live action Kermit and Miss Piggy, but like real people.
That'd be amazing.
Pig noses and frog legs.
And him with a sort of frog beak on. Being absolutely
catching a fly with
brilliant.
His tongue, it would have been brilliant. Anyway, so this week they were doing a very Fred Astaire-y kind of vibe. Well, it had to be you. That's what they were dancing to.
Oh yes, there you
and,
go.
And I did this time because you said it so often. The Mancunianisms in the training room did really hit home this week. It's like, we're watching Fred Astaire. He just floats, doesn't he?
He floats, doesn't he?
Amazing.
I mean, that's the thing he said in a Mancunian accent at the end. When they showed it, he did a swear.
But yes, I thought I heard it, but I kind of thought I must be mistaken. There's not enough crowd noise to cover up the fact that they're going, fuck me, I did it. Fucking
yeah,
hell,
exactly.
Fuck!
Fucking have it, he said. Again, the most Mancunian way that you can use the F word.
Obviously.
Fucking have it. I found this dance boring. I thought they looked sensational.
Yeah.
But it lacked something. It just didn't click. And what was really interesting is when you got to the end of the leaderboard, I suddenly thought, gosh, they're in real trouble here.
Oh, my emotions watching it were that he was much, I don't know, I felt, although technically obviously he was a bit all over the shop, he was really partnering her. Like when he had some, like one arm around her waist and stuff, I kind of slightly felt, oh, there's something going on here. And when in the kind of aftermath of the dance, when they're upstairs with Claudia, Diane sort of couldn't raise a smile. She looked kind of quite, she occasionally when it cuts her, she was kind of like, oh, being all jolly. But she looked a bit upset. I think they're doing it. I think there's something going on there. There was a really odd dynamic this week. And I thought, oh my God, it's really romantic. And oh, she's not being very smiley. No, they've had a row. They're doing it. They've had a row.
You and your gut feelings that just because
my source on the show said a couple of years ago, if you think they're doing it, they are. They're all doing it.
Well, that's it. They are all doing it.
And I'll tell you off mic who that source was.
Look, they got a 5, a 7 and an 8. Again, for a total of 20. I mean, I think Diane was upset because I think she's...
I mean, a 5 is harsh, again.
A 5 is really, really low. And I think she was thinking, do you know what? I think this will be a comfortable win.
I think she thought it was going to score highly. I definitely saw that in her too.
No, I mean, one of the things that you get when you suddenly score like that is you suddenly think, actually, is this guy as good as I felt he was? And you're beginning to see everyone else eclipsing. And you must be thinking, do you know what? If we get a 5 at this stage, we're going to struggle in the next 2 weeks.
Really,
and you're beginning
really
to watch, as a professional, your chances just just halving and halving and halving.
Yeah. So Max said he found it difficult. He called it the American rough, more like. And Craig said he thought it was too safe and was very, very down on it.
Lacked like, I was any surprised. Sense of flair.
Yeah, I was really surprised. Because actually I thought some of the armography when he, you know, that proper Astaire pose when the man points a leg and points an arm out to the side. And I thought it looked pretty good shaping-wise, but I was
good.
Corrected.
Looked good. Hands are like spatulas.
Hands like spatulas. He was
hands are like spatulas, said
Shirley
Craig.
Said she rather liked it. And Anton said he had the best left arm in the business. Let's not talk about the right arm. So they couldn't really agree, but they sort of agreed that, yeah, the technique wasn't quite right.
No, I have written down here, Craig's mark was dumb.
Oh, it was crazy low. Crazy
it was ridiculous low. This is the sort of thing that I do actually find a little bit unwatchable. And and I know it's technically quite good, but I just feel it's so trad. It's so trad that I sort of cannot help but just go, I feel like I'm seven again. I feel like I'm at my grandparents. I feel like ballroom dancing is on. And
that is the element of the show that keeps a certain demographic watching, especially when you're asking them to swallow same-sex couples. You need to give them a bit of friend ginger or you're in trouble. You always moan about the trad stuff. It's like,
I do.
What is Strictly Come Dancing if not a comforting, old-fashioned family show featuring nostalgia?
If you're going to do the trad stuff, it has to be so well done. Every single art form has improved over the years, except for when we see the trad stuff in Strictly Come Dancing, which is literally like from 1952.
Well, talking about comforting nostalgia, Mark. Next, God. We move on to, and I know this would have been your favourite dance of the night, we move on to JJ and Amy. Did you know he was in a war? Yes, he was. Jiving to the bugle boy from, you know,
the
Company
Boogie,
B, whatever it's
woogie,
called.
The bugle
it.
Boy from Company B.
So jiving to that, wearing military uniform, the full, why didn't they do this last week? I'm so confused why they're doing this not on Remembrance Sunday, but anyway.
I never thought I'd get to wear my army uniform again. Bollocks. Bollocks to that. I
also,
do not believe you.
Not army, darling. It's navy. He's Marine. his regiment, whoever, got him. I mean, that must have been at some expense. Waste of money, if you ask me. They got him a specially tailored uniform with all the correct, you know, bits on it. So it was authentic, like anyone else really is interested. But, you know, he did a jive. We'll talk about the dance in a minute. It wasn't great. In training, they got a message from Prince Harry, who I must say, I'm going to sound like my mother here, seemed terribly nice.
Ah, didn't he? Well,
I liked him very much.
I should imagine, you know, like, you know, because he's done this Netflix deal, he's probably like, you know, well, let's open the doors to the BBC one, as if Prince Harry needs doors opened. There are people who literally open the doors for him.
Even now he's defected. I think that's
if
still
you
probably
were, if you were the royal household this morning, you would be very, very panicky that he's going to be doing this in 2 years' time, aren't you? You know,
yeah. You're like, we didn't like him leaving the royal family, but if he stays in America, fine. If he comes back here showing us up, forget about it.
Absolutely.
Take him out.
That.
Take him
I
out.
I mean, the whole thing for me was like a fever dream of Brexit in tap shoes, where in 2020 on television, we cheer because a prince is talking to a commoner, and the commoner says, "Sir, I've taken a lot for this country, but I'm going to do it one last time."
Yeah.
And out comes Amy dressed as Jane from the Daily Mirror in a 70s pantsuit, like, you know, like your friend's sexy mum used to wear as a sort of childhood nostalgia menu. They should have been sitting there eating like pink block like you used to get at school for, you know, dessert. And
yeah, absolutely.
Everyone just, oh my God, I hated it. It was such a... Imagine if you were like in Germany and they had Strictly Come Dancing, and every year they got a military person and they'd do a thing about the Weimar Republic with them, or they'd do a thing where they'd sort of show them, you know, mowing down Russians. I loathe it. I loathe it so much. And the worst thing is, I feel it's difficult to criticise it.
It was like eating a cream tea off a Spitfire. And that is all I have to say on that. Shirley did say something very odd, which no one remarked upon. And no one, obviously this week they've got the crew, as many as they can get onto the balconies now, so they can really laugh loudly, cheer at a nice move. They're trying to get the noise back in the studio.
Very much something they've taken from wrestling as well.
Not
WWE
enough to cover the fucks, Mark. But yes, absolutely. But Shirley said, I loved your package.
Yes.
I'm sorry?
And there was, what was funny is there was no reaction
bugle?
To that.
No,
now,
none.
Normally, with a crowd, they'd have laughed at that, whether she meant it or not.
An innuendo, yeah. Like anything to just cover the silence.
I think she was waiting for a laugh, wasn't she?
She was, and it didn't come. Anton said, which is my favourite comment of the night, when you can't really go, oh, your dancing was a bit shit. It was a bit shit. I mean, God, Jive is so hard. He's long and gangly. He's physically probably not able. He didn't have the stamina. Just nothing about this worked. It was very uncomfortable to watch. But Anton said, you look so smart. Which was correct that and the good. Right thing to say. Well judged. Yeah. But like the only good thing he could really think of to say.
Yeah. Look, Amy did a great job on the choreography. She did a smart job to sort of work within the parameters that,
she,
that JJ
She gave
him
lots of rest moments during the flicking and kicking. Like, she didn't push him that hard, really.
And it did not look obvious that she was going, I'm having to do a big dance around someone who's incapable of doing this. She did a very, very good job.
And he obviously altered the pace to suit him, I think. Yeah.
And she you know, he worked incredibly hard. You can see, he is a grafter. There's absolutely no doubt about that.
Oh, he wants to do well. They all do, obviously.
Yeah. And I don't think he's insincere about it. I just think it's...
Wait, you don't think he's insincere?
No, I don't. I think he's... I will think the best of him and think that all of this, which is gross, I think he is unaware how it might look. There was a bit at the end where he said, I'm doing this for everyone who ever wore a uniform. And stop. We've just sat through the bugle boy of Company fucking C. And I don't need to know you're doing it for everyone in a uniform. It just, you know, I think he is very proud of this. It's a thing that I could never understand. I do not understand, and I'm fine with that. I react to this so badly, and I just found it gross in the middle. You know, you are a soldier, and so of course we should adore you. Is the basic sort of, you know, premise of it. And I don't like being told what to do, and I certainly
don't like
being told what to do by military people.
Well, and I'm from a military family. Like, literally everyone else but me and my family did join the RAF, and I don't understand it either. I'd find it like an alien thing to want to go and be told what to wear and what to do every day of your life. It just seems so completely mad. But yes, I think overall the comments were very kind, considering how it wasn't a great dance. Let's just be honest. It wasn't great. There was no retraction. Craig was saying that everything needed to be sharper, and he got booed, and that's when he unleashed the brilliant line about 10 people booing not really bothering me. and to be fair, he didn't hold back in the scoring either, did he?
No, he
they
did
got
not.
Across the board, they got a 4, a 6, I thought that was the lowest score from Craig of the night, and a 7, Anton being a bit too generous there.
Yeah.
But, you
17,
know,
bottom of the leaderboard.
Right.
By
this,
I think, three
time.
Marks.
Yes. They were never going to go out this week, but they were, yes, in terms of technical ability, he's not in the running anymore, I don't think. He hasn't improved enough, I think, to... He'll do okay if there's ballroom again next week. But he's not really going to be here for much longer, I don't think.
I think there is a slight thing about as well. I've really stopped watching the dancing with him because I'm usually just got a red mist in front of me. And, which ironically would probably make me a very good soldier.
Yeah.
Maisie and Gorka doing their cha-cha, I mean, I find this pairing incredibly watchable.
Yes.
I really, really enjoy what they do.
Her performance is outstanding, I think. Every week she performs beautifully.
Really was. I mean, she looked like a sort of fembot in this dance.
Oh, dear.
And she was playing up that kind of... do you know what? I have actually turned a corner where I really look at someone like Maisie and I just go, she looks like a baby to me. She's like a
she
human
is 19.
Baby.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that is, there is nothing.
There are no
other
stirrings.
Go,
we're being quite
no,
clear now.
No, not
You're
at
not,
all.
Okay, good.
No, not at all. She is, I mean, I'm sure she must be devastated.
She will be gutted, mate.
Someone in his mid-40s in a podcast isn't sexually interested in the beautiful actress on BBC One. But I thought she was really, really great. I thought that robotic movement was something they don't do enough of. And I like the whole girls just want to have fun thing of that you're stuck in that sort of, you know, robot real world. And then it's cheesy and it's exactly what dance should be about, which is going, break away from the 9-to-5, you squares. I loved it.
The only noticeable CGI this week was an absolute shocker, though,
oh,
wasn't it?
Oh, this was the worst.
It was like the pink doll's house that jumped just before it to the opening of the doll's house. No, it just hopped from, like, it changed its scale. Like, someone
it
went,
slid.
Oh, shit, and hit a button. It went, dunk, dunk. And it was so like, oh, why do they don't do... I mean, live CGI must be so hard, but please don't do it. If in any doubt, please don't do it.
It was... the door opened and then the house began sort of like phasing backwards, but then jumping forwards. And then, of course, so they went to a wide shot that obviously was supposed to have the house in it, and it didn't. Would you have watched that dance without the doll's house and gone... I cannot understand what's going on here. We seem to have two dollies sitting at a kitchen table. What could this mean? They do need to get rid of that CGI.
Just it's been awful. It. Yeah. So a couple of times it's been fun. I liked it in the Bond routine where they were fighting on top of a train. Apart from that, really, it hasn't been so successful.
Really, unless it's one of those things that you go, it's integral to the dance. Don't stick it in. You might as well have two big teddy bear people walk at the back just going, well, we've got the suits. Is it relevant to the dance? No, but we've got the suits.
There you go. We've paid for them. We're using them.
Yeah. Her facial work on this is tremendous as well.
I agree.
Really, she went from fierce to sexy to silly to sort of, you know,
it was
really stern. She sells it so well.
She's incredibly versatile and performance-wise really good. I thought she was really crisp, so characterful, amazing acting. And I loved that Anton was the first to comment because clearly he just revealed a little bit more every time he spoke this week.
Didn't he?
But he just said, it's vile. I hate the Cha-Cha. It's vile. And this was amazing. Clearly, every time he's asked to dress up in stupid, like, pom-pom sleeves and a sombrero, he's like, can I just have my dignity, please? Put me in a tux and let me do what I'm good at. That's what the ladies are paying for. I loved his comment on this. But he said it was great. The other two were a lot more critical of her this week. So Craig said the timing was great, the hips were great, but he was really picking on footwork, parallel feet, sickled feet, all this kind of stuff. Again, which is, you know, they're taking her seriously because she's a real prospect for the final.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I thought she was.
It's kick up the bum week, isn't it?
Yeah, it very much is, which was a shame because I think it gave, again, we said this about Clara and we'll come to that in a minute. My God, what a turnaround. That it's giving her the impression that that was not as brilliant as it looked from my sofa. It looked fantastic from where
I was
sitting.
Same here. I mean, I thought she was actually doing a lot of the work better than Gorka. If you watch the two of them, I mean, she seemed to be in different ways where you get people who are obviously, you know, propping up a partner slightly and they are doing all the work.
For sure.
She was eclipsing him. I thought she was tremendous.
Such pro finishing and kind of like those hands. What's that manoeuvre? You don't know. Why am I asking? You don't know this, but there's a brilliant manoeuvre in this dance, the Cha-Cha, where she's kind of walking and then she... Her hips stay where they are, her shoulders come round,
and
then
flips.
Her arm goes out in front of her and her head kind of follows.
Yeah.
And she just did something really sassy with it. The whole thing was so fluid, it looked like a pro was doing it completely.
I believe that's called the spaceman.
That's right, it's called the spaceman pointing at far off...
Other moon.
That's it.
She did seem ever so slightly chippy when they started giving her slight negative feedback.
Yeah.
She was not expecting
advice,
it. She couldn't
they were
hide
calling
the...
It. No.
Right? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
She was a little bit disappointed, which is understandable because she's used to being just gushed over. But I didn't judge her for that. I think, you know, they have been just building her up every week and she has been amazing. And I don't think that was a performance where she suddenly needed to be told everything she was doing wrong, but it must have been a bit of a slap for her to suddenly
hear a
lot of negative stuff.
A 7, an 8 and a 9.
Yeah.
For 24.
Which for Craig was pretty, I mean, still pretty good score, but
that will be 1 point below Jimmy Biscuits and Karen.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, is it really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll come to that. It, as if to cleanse my palate of the thing you just said. Next up, Bill and Oti doing their couple's choice, which was a street dance to Tess's favourite song, Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang.
That's right. And I think, Julia, what we're going to do is we're going to say to everyone, if you want to hear that, you have to listen to the next episode of The Curse of Strictly. That was a proper cliffhanger there. That was great. People are like, oh, they are going to get to it. No!
No,
not for you. You've got this far. You can listen to more. So we will see you on the other side. Thank you so much for listening. And until you listen to the next episode, listen, subscribing. Love you. Bye.
Great. Thank you.